verse 13 and 14. If you're fairly new here, we are teaching through the letter to the Philippians with the Apostle Paul, and we're on verse 13 and 14. And the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the race, and that's what we have our big idol up there for. Okay, I'm just saying that because Bobby said that. Actually, isn't that a good job? Bobby put that together in his garage for 1 week. It took him a whole week to make that thing. And we hung it up there, and that's a guy running through the fall, you know, all the fall leaves, and it's run the race. And run the race is going to be a thing that continuously happens at Harvest. It's going to be part of our culture. And so to prepare time for you to be able to participate either at 11 o'clock in those classes or the November 12th and just time management in general, I want to continue a short series on margins. Now, I already started one, then we went into this time for 3 weeks, or run the race, and now we're back. And I want to continue in this because over the next few weeks, I want to address specific issues that you and I face. Because one of the things I think is really hard for us as people to admit that we have limits, isn't it? I mean, when you grow, now think about it for a little bit, and some of you are fairly young and you're in here, and I'm going to just hammer you here probably, but for the rest of us that have a little age on us, we thought we were indestructible, right? We could take on anything and do it, and we just felt like we never had to say no to anything. We could just do it. And I was always that way, and I would get my schedule so goofed up. And still, I have that tendency. Now, it may be just some of us that have that kind of tendency, but I have a feeling that we're all that way. And when I talk, and I'm going to talk about margins, I'm talking about time limits, schedules crammed with stuff, emotional limits, finding ourselves emotionally on the edge, yelling and screaming, or whatever it is that we do because we're right at that edge, or financial limits, not having enough money for the month, getting all the way through the month and not making it, and moral limits, getting to that place in moral sin where we step over the line. And I think it's because of our culture that we're kind of wired that way, and we have a tendency to take everything to the limit, to the max. Everything, we max everything out, cram everything to our schedule, we spend all of our money, and then we spend a little more because we want to spend the money the way we want to spend it. And we get stressed out emotionally beyond reason to the point that sometimes you think, what's wrong with me? Because I'm so stressed out. And then we push the limits morally, like I said, and asking sometimes even the question in our own heart, how close can I actually get to sin without sinning? That's when you know you're on the edge. And the problem is when we live that way, we end up squeezing that needed margin out in our lives. And if you remember from that previous sermon, by margin, I mean the leftover in our life, that spare room, that place you could relax a little bit, that time when you have to spend with others rather than being in such a hurry. And it's the same margin that we find that we can have relationship with others, and it really is that place in which we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So today I'm going to spend a little bit time on schedule, and I hope this helps you. It's helped me just studying it and looking at it. How to face your schedule with purposely leaving margin in it. Now, when I say that, and I'm talking about maybe time management, that kind of thing, and this is going to be a little bit different sermon than I normally talk about, because I want us to be able to have a place where we can live with a little bit of margin so that we can have a relationship with our Father. Amen? And your response in your mind might be, well, wait a minute, Steve, I don't have time to do all those things in order to have time. All those things are going to stress me out. If you give me all these things to do, well, listen, I know what you're saying. How many times have you been stressed out with so much schedule and you're afraid to let something go in your life so that you can ease up your schedule? And you get wrapped around the axle and you get wrapped around the axle and then pretty soon you start having heart problems or you have a panic attack or whatever and you think, my gosh, what's wrong with me? And then somewhere along the line, your schedule accidentally lets up. And you think, ah, a little bit of space to breathe in. That's the American way. I mean, it sounds funny when we say, let's increase our time with our Heavenly Father in order to reduce our time and have margin in our life. But that's what I'm going to talk about today, because that is the truth. And here's what you need to know if you're a God follower and if you're listening to Him. He will lead you to a life of margin where you have that time. That's His goal. Now, I want to go over three facts that I want you to consider today in your schedule, facts of life. And here's the first one. Your time is limited. Okay, I know. I can see it on your face. Oh, Steve, you want me to write that down in the sermon notes? Your time is limited? It's pretty simple, isn't it? But think about it. When we schedule our time, we schedule it as though we have unlimited time. We keep adding and adding and adding and adding when people come along and ask us or we see we need to do something. We keep adding that. It's so funny because we never stop and ask the question, what do I need to stop doing in order to do this other thing? Because somehow we really believe that we have a limitless time. And that brings us to the second fact of life. All of our time is going to be spent doing something. Oh, there's another brilliant thought. But all of our time is going to be spent doing something. And you're going to use it all. You can't save it. You can't pull it out of a box like my later box here. I want to show you my later box. You can't take time and pull it out and say, you know what, look at honey, I've got 45 minutes here left in the week. I know it's midnight Sunday, but I still have 45 more minutes before it's midnight Sunday because I've saved it up. You won't get to your final day of life. And you're about to breathe your last and you grab out your later box and you say, wait a minute, God, I know I'm about to die, but I still have saved up 6 months that you've forgotten about. So you've got to give me 6 more months because I've saved it. No, you're going to breathe your last because you can't save it. You can save money, but you can't save time. And every single moment you have is going to be spent. Amen? Does that make sense? Now, I know these are simple concepts, and we're going to go through these simple concepts, but we think it's clear, and then we put our schedule together, and it's not so clear, is it? We say things like, oh, I'll do that later. I know that's important, but I'm going to do it later. I've been saving up a bunch of time to do that. I love it because my wife loves to paint. She loves to paint on ceramics. And she's always saving time to paint. And I was talking to her this morning and I said, honey, man, I'd love to see you paint. And she said, I know it. I keep saving up this time, but then things come into my schedule and I can't do it. And aren't we all like that? We all say exactly the same. I'm going to get around to doing that. Right? I'm going to get around to doing that. But do we ever get around to doing it? And what we're really saying is, later is when we're going to do the important stuff. Right now I'm going to do the stuff that's kind of fun, the stuff that gives me a little bit of energy, but the important stuff I'm going to wait on. I'll do it later. I have plenty of time. Which brings us to the third fact of life. Someone is going to determine how you spend your time. Someone's going to determine that. And most of us may determine. Now, I have one of those Android phones, you know, and Debbie and I got them a while back, and I've got my little calendar on there, and it links up with Gmail, and it links up with my Outlook, and so I put all of my appointments in there, and then I have to guard it to death. You know what I'm saying? I have to guard it to death because people are calling me and wanting to get into my calendar where I already have something in my calendar. And I've actually, over the years, had to learn to say, you know what? I can't do it. No, I can't make that appointment because I already have an appointment, and inside I feel bad, but I have to say, wait a minute. I got to stop doing some things in order to do other things. And sometimes I'm not careful, and I'm running my sermon all the way up to the end of the week. And I think, how did I get here? So it brings us to this point of, we realize that if we don't control our calendar, somebody else will. I mean, just stop and think about it for a minute. The boss says, well, you know what? I need you to work a little extra. Or your kids say, Dad, I need to go to baseball. I need to go to soccer. I need to go here and I need to go there. Or church people are saying, no, you need to come to do this and that kind of thing. And I'm not trying to dog out things for church because we try to provide you things. But at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the year, we allow the urgent and the attractive to control the important. You hear what I'm saying? We allow the urgent and the attractive. By attractive, I mean those things that impulsive. I want to just do it now because that really sounds a lot more fun than doing the important. And we allow the urgent and the attractive to control the important. So let me ask you a question. What if you gave your time up to God? Just said, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm going to give it to you. What if you handed Him your priorities and said, Lord, I need you to help me straighten out my priorities. You know, I love Dr. Oz. Now, I don't know if many of you know who Dr. Oz is, but he's a doctor that was on Oprah for a lot of years. And every time the schedule came up and Dr. Oz was going to be on Oprah, I'd tell Deb, record that for me because I want to see it when I get home. Because I always was enamored. He shows all these different organs and what happens and things in our life. And so on one of those occasions, I'm watching Dr. Oz, and he says, well, I just got the results back from my DNA, and he talked about 23andme.com in Mountain View, California. And 23andme.com is a group that they draw your blood and they look at your DNA and they can tell you what disease you're probably going to die from. Because they read all the DNA and not only the disease that you're susceptible to or die, but Dr. Oz says they can actually even figure out about when you're going to die. And of course, exercise and those kind of things change that a little bit. But they're predicting the disease or when you're going to die, and I look at that and I think, it would be silly for us to think that God doesn't know our days. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't know the number of our days, and he's a great mathematician. If we start exercising, he can adjust. Right? He knows. He knows what our life expectancy is, probably down to the second or millisecond. After all, He invented DNA. And I look at Job, and I was reading, meditating on Job's 14:5 this week, and it's talking about men, and he says this in Job 14:5, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, you have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass, or he cannot exceed them. Your days and my days are numbered and will come to an end. When you get up in the morning, you can check that day off your calendar because it is never coming back. Do you know what I'm talking about? So if God knows your days and He's given you life, wouldn't it seem wise that we go to Him for wisdom? Because He is going to lead you to margin. He's going to lead you to a place where your schedule is not that crammed. And that's the time when we meet with God, is in that margin. That's why He likes margin in His life, so He can have relationship with us. So there's three quick points that I want you to consider here. The first one is, you must realize your days are numbered. We just talked about that. Now, what do I mean? Here's what I mean. You only get to be a teenager once, right? You can't go back and go, wow, that was fun. I think I want to do it again. It doesn't work that way. You only get to be 21 once. And then it passes. And I listen past 21, and when they get past the 21, they think, wow, I'm getting older. And then we go through our 20s. And then come the 30s. And you can't go backwards. And you get into the 40s and you can do it twice. Well, some people try to do it twice. You get to your 50s and then pretty soon some get to their 60s and less get to their 70s and few get to their 80s. And life is over. Our time has a limit. And when you lock on to the perspective that you've only got so much time and it's done, I'm telling you what, your vision and your clarity for your schedule begin to clear. The clouds kind of clear up. And you begin to handle your time more wisely. Here's what David said in Psalms 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let me read that again. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, when did this happen for me? Clyde and I were at a pastor's meeting one time, and we were talking together, and a bunch of pastors were talking, and I can't remember, brother, how that question came up, but anyhow, the question was asked, how much longer do you have to be a pastor? I remember Clyde and I looking at each other. I said to Clyde at the time, because I was thinking 65. Now, you know, as I get older, I keep moving that. Yeah, okay, you get it. Well, anyhow, I was thinking 65, and at the time I said, Clyde, I only have 14 years left to be in the ministry. And Clyde says, he goes, then that means I only have 12. You remember that, brother? And you know what? Clyde's life and my life changed that day in a dramatic way. I mean, it was dramatic. I went home and I thought, wait a minute. I kept on thinking I have all the time in the world. And I only have 14 years left. Now I have, I don't know. I think I'll just leave it alone. But I've got a very clear idea of what I have in my heart. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why? Because when you number your days, when you look at it from the end of your life and bring it back, it really clears up your vision. You can poke it and you can postpone. You can have your later box and you can stuff it full of time and schedule and all that kind of thing. But when you begin to look at the end of your life, that's when the clouds clear up. And you realize, and I looked at it, and Clyde looked at it, and we thought, man, we have to change the way we're doing things, and we did, we changed the way we're doing things. We're still changing the way we do things. Because we want to be able to have some sense of purpose and some relationship with God that is unbelievable. Because it's going to end. Looking at our time left on this earth has far more impact in our thinking than unlimited time. You know, I heard just recently about a guy who was thinking about this whole thing because he was reading Psalms 90. And he put a big jar on his chest of drawers in his bedroom and he filled it with 1,300 marbles. Now, each marble represented 1 week, and that would be when he would turn maybe about 75. He figured he'd probably make it to 75 at least. And so every week, he'd get up on Saturday morning and he'd go over the chest of drawers and he'd take a marble, reach in to the jar, pull out a marble, and throw it away. And pretty soon he began to see the line of those marbles go down. And he said, he was telling a friend, you can't believe what it's done for my time and my priorities. Because when those marbles are going down and you begin to see you have less and less time, you get clarity. You get unbelievable. He numbered his days. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to number our days so we don't get screwed up with all this fluff and stuff in this life. Because you realize how little time you have. And so the second priority here is prioritize accordingly. If you know your days are limited, then it only makes sense to prioritize. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 5:15-17, because Paul understood this clearly. Paul even had, in 2 Corinthians 12, gone to heaven and come back and realized, wow, I only have this short time. I need to spread the gospel to the whole world. And he says this, therefore, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but you be wise by understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be careful how you live. It says walk circumspectly in the King James. It means walk accurately. Not as unwise, but as wise. Maybe we could simplify it in our life and say, is this the wise thing for me to do? Pretty simple question, isn't it? Is this the wise thing for me to do? Is this a purposeful thing for me to do? Is this a profitable thing in my life? You know, and if you're a type A this morning, and that's the guys that are running like crazy, I kind of am A-, I think. Maybe a B+. But if you're type A this morning, and if you turn your calendar over to God, you might think, you know what, if I turn my calendar over to God, I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to be inactive and I'm going to be non-productive, and that's why I control my calendar. Listen, my friend, it isn't that way at all. God didn't build us to sit on the couch and be non-productive. That's not His point. It means that you're going to start focusing on the important. Because your performance capacity is not determined by how much you can cram into your schedule. And sometimes we think the bigger schedule we have, the more productive we are, and we look at the fruit of that and we find out that's absolutely not true. The more we cram into our schedule, the less productive we become. And so it brings us to our third point. Priority determines capacity. As you begin to prioritize correctly and know that you have limited time and there is no later box, you'll begin to do the right things on your schedule. In other words, your priorities will determine your capacity. And you'll put your schedule first. You know, I was trying to think, how can I explain this? Okay, and I thought, okay, at my house, when we go on the trip, I'm the bad packer, my wife's the good packer, okay? Now, I know for some of you it's the other way around, but I don't know, my wife knows how to pack a car. And I'll look at the trunk and I'll look at all the stuff she has out and I'll go, there's no way you're going to get that into the trunk. I'm always negative about those kinds of things. And so she'll go, oh honey, we can get it in there. So when I pack it, I just pack the big and or the small or whatever, I get it in and it never works. And she does it by priority. She looks at it all and she thinks, now what's my priorities here? And she stacks it in. And, you know, in our SUV, we pack that thing up sometimes to come to church. And she packs it all in nice and neat. And you know what? I can see out my rearview mirror when she does it. I can't see out of the rearview mirror when I do it because I don't look at it in terms of priority. And she looks at it. She looks at every box and everything. And she thinks, okay, these have to go for sure. Then these can still go, and these, if we have to leave home, we'll leave home. She looks at it totally in priority, and I look at it, big box, small box, just get it in there. And she'll see me, and I'll have my shoulder to the box cramming it in. Of course, I'm the only one that does that, right? Yeah. And then we try to shut the lid and hope it stays shut, right? And doesn't blow out your window in the back or whatever. Yeah. We prioritize, if we prioritize our capacity, we have margin. We build in the extra. We eliminate the unneeded in our life. And so to speak, we can begin to see out the rearview mirror of our life and realize we have time for God. And then the fourth point I want to make is make time alone with God a priority. Now, the reason I'm saying that is if you make time alone with God as a priority, everything else will work out. I don't know how that works. I experience it every day, every week, every month, and I don't get how it works. You give God your time and He gives you more time back because He wants that margin in your life so you can spend time with Him. God just sets it straight. And I think we need to ask ourselves the question, or at least make the statement, God, I'm going to give you my time first, and then I'm going to let everything fall in place. You know, a couple weeks ago, Joel and Bobby and I were standing out at Run the Race table, and we were talking about morning devotions. Remember that, brother? We were talking about morning devotions, you know, haven't spent a little time with God. And Bobby stopped and said, well, you know, I kind of look at it as I give God the first fruits. What he means like that, and if you're a farmer, you know the first things that your first part of your crop that comes up, that's what God talks about. God always wants our first fruits. He wants the first part of us. And so Bonnie says, you know, I look at it and even my time that I give to God, I give Him my first fruits. So in the morning, I get up, I spend time with God, and then it seems like the rest of my day goes. And the three of us stood there and going, yeah, that's exactly what I do. And I know we've talked about it since several times because that is the truth. Maybe it can be explained by Jesus on the mountaintop. We call it the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, when He says this. But you, I'm adding the you in there because it's actually in the language, but you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? All these things will be added unto you. Now we read that, we've memorized it, we've heard it in church, and we don't believe it. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Pack the car with the priorities first, and you're going to be able to see out of the rearview mirror. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest will be added. That's the principle. I think the practical application here is, God, I'm putting You first. I have fought this all my life, and today I stop. I'm going to put You first. I don't have the time, but I am committing it to You. And I'm going to spend the time with You, and I'm going to see what the results are. And then you let God take care of the rest, right? And if you look in that passage in Matthew 6, He's talking about food and housing and all the other things. That's what all these things will be added unto you means. And so here's the question for you this morning. What drives you? Is it a cram schedule? Is it always saying yes, no matter if it's important or not? Is it the urgent? Is the things that sound fun? Or is it the important? Are you postponing the important? Have you built, not physically, but in your head, the later box? I'm going to do it later. That's so important, I'm going to do it later. My friends, there is no later. Do you realize that? There is no later. We want to spend time with God, but we mistakenly think there is no time right now. But in 6 months, my schedule is going to open up, and I'm going to go ahead and start spending time with God. And the 6 months comes along, and we've crammed new things. We say yes to new things in our schedule, and that goes by for another 6 months. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, you've burned up 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years of not spending time with God. But you have that priority. I'm going to do it later. So today, I hope for some of you that's coming to an end. I hope today in your heart that you're going to change and think, you know what, I'm going to get rid of my later box. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to start spending the time with God because that's what's important. And some of you may pray this, God, I have limited time and only one life to live. Teach me to count my days. Take my life and I will start with you. And you know what? He'll totally take you up on that. I'm living proof. Clyde's living proof. Other people here are living proof because they do that. And you will live a life of healthy margin. Let's pray.